blessed by that song. But if you were like I was, then we want to sing it as a congregation. Just the chorus. You are the holiest Lord.
In the eyes of every man,
you are the holiest Lord.
The instrument so that I can hear your voice.
You are the holiest
in the eyes of every man.
You are the holiest
in the eyes of every man.
You are the holiest.
And so tonight we give you praise. Even as a congregation, we acknowledge that you are the holiest of all. Come in our midst tonight and reign supreme. And let the excellency of your majesty be made manifest to the glory of your great name. We celebrate you. We magnify you. In Jesus' mighty name. Before you take your seat, make somebody welcome. Welcome to the house of God. And I'd like you to join me, appreciate the choir. I don't know the... Amen. They have taken off on a very powerful note in 2023. Amen. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, beginning from verse number 16. Sorry, I was unavoidably absent this morning because we were summoned to be in a function to thank God for one of the champions of the gospel in Benue State, and so that was where we went, and that was why I was not physically present in the meeting this morning. You know, these are the days of accountability. We also need to, you know, be accountable to the people that we are sent to. All right, having said that, let's jump into Romans chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is father of us all. Verse number 17 is my emphasis. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Now, this scripture is an articulation of the kind of introduction that God gave to Abraham about himself. One of the things that God told Abraham about himself in the introductory meeting that he had with Abraham was that he was a personality that quickens the dead. And it will interest you to know that at the time he came to meet with Abraham, there were so many dead things around his life. For instance, the Bible says that his own body was dead, and that was the biological state of his viability. And those are English words just to explain his situation. His body was dead. The actual situation is that he no longer has what it takes to produce life. His viability was in question. His wife, that was a barren young lady, had entered into menopause, and there were so many dead things around his life. So when God decided to show up, he needed an introduction that was relevant to the man's condition. And so he decided to introduce himself to him as the God that quickeneth the dead. You see, if you don't understand that capacity of God, because it is only God in his capacity as the resurrection that can tell the story that exists after death. For humankind, death is like a terminus. It's like an end point. But this personality that is coming to introduce himself to Abraham sees death as something that can be reversed. He has the vitality that is needed to undo the hold of death that men see as an object of permanency. So he had a strange kind of introduction that he brought about himself to the patriarch. I am the God that raises the dead. I'm the God that quickeneth the dead. That's the first introduction of himself that he gave to Abraham. And subsequently, you will find that in the story of faith, there was a point that God demanded that Abraham should submit his son Isaac for sacrifice. And in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible shows us the logic that Abraham had that made obedience to that demand of God easy for him to fulfill. In the book of Hebrews 11, there's a logic there. Can we check it out? By faith, Abraham, when he was called... Can you jump? If you are helping me with scripture, let it be the right one. Can you jump to verse number... No, you are not with me. Hold on, I'll tell you where to go, okay? All right. Hebrews 11. Are you there? You're not there. Hebrews 11. Verse 17. Hebrews 11. Verse numbers 17. By faith, when he was tried, it was a trial, it was a setup, all right, to test his depth, whether he got the introduction that God had made to him, so he had to be tried. When he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, right? Of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. It means that God had visited with Abraham one of those times of visitation to reveal to him that, you see, your genealogy shall be reckoned after the order of Isaac. So in one of the discussions that God had with Abraham, he had solved the family tree question, that the Ishmaelites will not be inheritors with Isaac. It is only the children that derive from the barren woman that will be endorsed for inheritance. The other children can be released. Material possessions can be given to them so that they can go start life somewhere. Hallelujah. But in terms of the genealogy, the family tree, it will be reckoned according to Isaac. So God had gone to that level of discussion with Abraham previously. Then he shows up and says to the same Abraham, it's time for you to offer up Isaac. And the only logic that Abraham could make out of the situation is what you find in the next verse. Abraham accounted. You see, faith has five components. And one of the components that faith has is knowledge. It will interest you to know that you are not likely to be able to believe a God that you don't know. And it is easier to preach faith than to walk in faith. It is easier to proclaim faith than to walk by faith. It is easier for you to rebuke people that they are faithless than for you yourself to walk by faith. The logic behind Abraham's obedience was that he accounted or reckoned that God was able to raise him up from the dead. That is to say that Abraham passed the test. The test of the kind of introduction that God gave unto him. That test was captured in the demand that God made when he asked Abraham to offer up Isaac. He knew that the God that can raise the dead has the capacity to bring him back from the dead. So if he's asking him today to sacrifice him, it's not a big deal. He's a God that can do what? That can quicken the dead. But that's not all about the introduction. If you go back to the book of Romans chapter 4, there is another part to the introduction. That he is the God that quickens the dead. And then he is also the God that calleth those things which be not as though they were. Are you still with me? That is to say that the limitation, the partitions of time do not influence the capacity of God. I remember the last time when some friends, I was in Abuja and I had to be here to come preach the gospel, and then some friends came up with a jet and said, okay, let's go to Makurdi. And we flew over River Benue and I saw everything so... I could see Air Force Base. I could see high level. I could see, what do they call it? What's the name of that? Welfare quarters. I could see everything. It was visible from that height. But the moment we landed, I could no longer see high level from where I was. I could no longer see welfare quarters from where I was. Are you there? So where I was, I could say, hey, that's welfare quarters, and I can see what's going on there. Where I was, I could see Kwarafa quarters. I could see high level, and I could tell what was going on there. But the moment we landed on the ground, I lost sight of that vantage position. You see, God is not in our context. And because it's not in our context, he wields abilities that are not human. One of which is that when God is discussing with you, you are still a single lady, and then he can give you the name of your four sons. Now, if you don't understand the context, you will not even believe, because the lattice of time, the lattice of space confines you to a limited portion of knowledge, and God doesn't share your limitation. He speaks from a place where the partitions in time do not obstruct the things that he speaks about. So he can meet a young man, a single young man, and he speaks, tells him about the fact that three kings will come from you. Oh, he's already speaking about the things that be not, with so much confidence, so much audacity, as though they were. It is natural for God to operate like that because of his own frame of reference. The realm in which God is domiciled doesn't suffer as much limitations as our realm. So if you are a wise man, are you there? And you want to operate beyond the limitation of your own context and reference point, you will need to believe in the testimony of God, which is devoid of all the encumbrances of time, of space, and accept his testimony.